Catholicism is only at AveMariaRadio.net.
Catholic Radio in Metro Detroit. This is 990 WDEO, Ypsilanti, Detroit, or on the internet at WDEO.net.
Welcome to Stories from the Heart. I'm Sandra McDevitt. Today on Stories from the Heart, a young mother keeps looking to the future and misses the precious present moment. Stay tuned to find out how looking so much to the future impacts her life and the lives of her children. Now I live for today. I was an only child, spending much time in fantasy with make-believe friends who always did and said just what I wanted them to. Perhaps I believed too much in the fairies and princesses and golden castles that I visited in books. I always looked forward to tomorrow, that enchanting day when dreams would come true. I never knew my father. My mother divorced him before I was born, and when I was 3, she remarried. When I was 11, she was divorced again. I drifted along through those early years, living now with my mother, now with my grandmother, but always in my world of pretend. By the time I was 13, I was already looking forward to being older, just a little older, and I could date. Just a little older, and I would be prettier. Just a few more years to womanhood. At 16, all I wanted out of life was a husband and home and lots of children. I would be the envy of my friends, a lovely hostess in a lovely house, with the husband who idolized me, and children who acted on my every word. But when my tomorrows arrived, they were not the ones I had been expecting. I was married at 17. Our first baby was born a week before my 18th birthday. I was already looking ahead. David was a bright, sparkly-eyed baby. I should have enjoyed him, but I didn't. My castle was a sparsely furnished two-room apartment. My Prince Charming forgot to kiss me goodbye in the morning, and my perfect baby sometimes cried all night when I mixed the formula wrong. I hated washing diapers, and I hated being tied down. I could hardly wait till David could be old enough to walk and save on the washing, old enough to talk and tell me what he wanted, old enough to tie his own shoes, to comb his own hair, to start to school. David would be a gentle boy who would get all A's. He would be a paragon of talent, artistic and athletic. In high school, he would be on the football team, maybe even class president. And from there, college, of course. I would be his proud mother, proud but modest about my wonderful child. By the time David did start school, I had year-old twins. So I postponed my rewarding future to mix more formulas and wash more diapers. But I was just biding my time, I told myself. Someday we would have more money and we could live in a lovely house. Someday the children would turn into perfect children. I knew they were. It was just a matter of time. And so the years went by, and the twins started to school. But things were not turning out the way I had planned. David, who was 10, got into trouble at school for fighting. One of the twins threw a rock through a neighbor's window. The other one was classed as immature and kept back in the first grade. Then I was pregnant again. I was almost 30 and still waiting for all those wonderful things to happen. With another baby on the way, it looked as if none of them ever would. I managed to rearrange my mind, postpone my dream of the perfect future, and care for a new baby. I even enjoyed it. When I looked at him lying in his crib, so pink and cuddly, and thought about his future when he might be fighting at school or throwing rocks, I didn't seem to mind the formula and the diapers at all. But I hated myself for having cut off my own teen years, and I could hardly wait for David to begin his. I looked forward eagerly to his days in high school, when I was sure he would truly come into his own. In David's freshman year in high school, he brought home many F's and many ill-mannered friends. His second year was not much better. He began to be defiant and secretive. I never knew where he was going or with whom. I began to wish ahead again. This time I wished for David to be 18. Then he would join the service and be a hero for his country. He would be a fine, upstanding young man who would marry a beautiful, intelligent girl and present me with beautiful, well-behaved grandchildren. He would possess all the qualities he lacked in childhood. In his junior year, David began to nag us to let him quit school. When we refused, he threatened to flunk out. After months of arguing, we compromised with him. He could quit school provided he became self-supporting. When he couldn't find a job, he decided to join the Navy. And 4 days after his 17th birthday, I took him to the Navy recruiting office. I think I was even a little bit glad. One of my dreams was going to come true. I began to see my vision of the future for what it really was all the time. A flimsy dream, the day we sent David off to boot camp. We met him at the airport, and I had only a few minutes with him. I spotted him before he saw us. He was sitting with four or five other recruits, and somehow he didn't look old enough to be going into the service. The perfect son of my dream was supposed to be a man, now ready for life. When I looked across that giant waiting room, the boy I saw looked just like a boy, a lonely little frightened boy. Suddenly I thought, he's afraid. He had never left home before. And I thought of the stack of comic books in his room, the model cars, the walls of his bedroom still lined with pennants, a cowboy hat, and a fuzzy Easter rabbit. I began to wonder about my dream as I watched the plane rumble down the runway and finally disappear into the night. During the next few weeks, I asked myself over and over, did I really try to be a good mother? But I couldn't find the answer. Every day I looked in David's room, hoping for reassurance, but every day I went away empty. I still clung to my dream of tomorrow, though I wasn't sure of it. Before I had known it would be just around the next corner, now I doubted, and I didn't like the feeling it gave me. And then, one sunny morning, David's civilian clothes came home. I was sweeping the kitchen floor when I saw the mailman coming up the walk. I had known that David would send all his things home as soon as he had been issued Navy gear, so I wasn't surprised when the doorbell rang, and the mailman handed me David's zippered satchel. I took it to the kitchen and set it on the table, intending to unpack it. When I looked at the tag, it gave me a funny feeling when I saw his name, written in his childish scrawl, followed by a number and care of 638, USNTC, San Diego, California. I unzipped the case and reached inside. I took out his shoes, his socks, underwear, and even his toothbrush. Everything he had with him was in that small bag. And then I pulled out his shirt. Suddenly, I could see him standing in the air terminal in that shirt. Just a little boy, white-lipped and scared, all alone. And I remembered him standing on the platform to receive his grammar school diploma. And before that, pinning his Boy Scout medal on my coat at a court of honor. And even before that, in a white robe singing Christmas carols at a school program. I remembered a million things, and I began to cry. The little boy was gone, I knew. And the David who came back would be a man, a stranger. Because I'd been so busy waiting for my golden tomorrow, my perfect son, to emerge from the cocoon of my fantasy, I'd let all the wonderful todays dribble away like sand. And all the little things I might have enjoyed were gone forever. I hugged David's shirt and sobbed for all the tomorrows I had yesterday and pushed aside. I wish I could say that I gave up that dream of the future completely, but of course I didn't. Old habits are hard to break, especially bad ones, and I still find myself sometimes trying to push my way into something big and wonderful for tomorrow. When I catch myself going that way, I look in David's room. I have kept all his things just as he left them. I did it to remind myself to live for today before it too becomes yesterday. I can't bring back the past, but I can try not to lose any more precious time. The twins are 16 now, and like all teenagers, can be very trying. But now I have to put things into perspective. I'm not always wishing them into the future. When they turn up their record player, full blast, I yell, "Shut the door!" But I remind myself that it won't be long till the house will be quiet. Too quiet. It's surprising then how well I can stand the noise. When my 9-year-old tracks mud across the clean floor, I still scold, but not as I used to. Those muddy little tennis shoes will be discarded soon enough. Why should I mop the floor if no one's coming for dinner? Thank God I've learned to appreciate my todays before they are all yesterday's.
God could not be in every place with loving hands to help erase the teardrops from each baby's face. And so he thought of Mother. He could not send us here alone and leave us to a fate unknown without providing for his own the outstretched arms of Mother. God could not watch us night and day and kneel beside our crib to pray or kiss our little aches away. And so he sent us Mother. And when our childhood days began, he simply could not take command. That's why he placed our tiny hand securely into Mother's. The days of youth slipped quickly by. Life's sun rose higher in the sky. Full grown were we, yet never nigh to love us still was Mother. And when life's span of years shall end, I know that God will gladly send to welcome home her child again, that ever faithful Mother.
Thank you for joining us on Stories from the Heart. Today's story, Now We Live for Today, was by Doreen Alsop and published in Catholic Digest magazine. The song was by Robert and Robin Coaches from their CD, Mother Dearest, Mother Fairest. The poem was from George Wiseman and read by Tom Lowy. For a copy of this or any of my stories, email Sandra at AveMariaRadio.net. I'm Sandra McDevitt. May God bless the rest of your day.
Missed a show? Not sure if it came from Ave Maria Radio? Go to AveMariaRadio.net. A list of shows and hosts are there. And if you find the show you're looking for, you can hear the whole thing again by going through the Ave Maria Radio audio archives. For 2 years, we've recorded nearly every show from Ave Maria Radio. Just click on the audio archives message located at the center of our homepage. Now you even have more reasons to become a radioactive Catholic by going to AveMariaRadio.net.
Novena for Pentecost. Recent popes asked the whole Church to pray for a new Pentecost, to renew her life of missionary energy. So we pray, renew your wonders in our day with a new Pentecost. Grant your Church that being of one mind with Mary and following the lead of St. Peter, we may advance the reign of Christ, a reign of truth and justice, love and peace. St. Paul tells the Ephesians, be patient with each other, making allowance for each other's faults because of your love. Make every effort to keep yourselves united in the Spirit, binding yourselves together with peace. In the Novena, we pray for the mending of broken relationships and the healing of life's hurts. May the peace of Christ lead us into the unity for which he died. within our family, our parish and diocese, and all Christian people. I'm Father Pat Egan, chaplain to Ave Maria Radio, inviting you to pray a novena every day till Pentecost. You can find it online at avemariaradio.net.
Self-abandonment to